I'm sorry, guys. Han shot first. Who shot first? Han shot first.
What's I feel if you go frame by frame, it's Greedo, but it's unnecessarily close. I just think it shows the skill and temperament of a bounty hunter of Han's status, and it shows that he should not be underplayed for his skills and assets.
To be fair, you are correct. However, in the original theatrical release, Han shoots first, and it's clear. I'm not kidding. If you can go to YouTube. I suggest listeners go to YouTube out there. Look it up. The original trilogy. Because the idea of dodging a laser, like it appears to be now, is kind of silly. You can't really dodge a laser. It doesn't work like that.
You got to kind of predict the shot at that point. But also, don't call to action, my listeners, Will. Step
in. I apologize.
But on that topic, you should go to YouTube, search in original theatrical release of Star Wars, did Han shoot first? Per my request.
Well, what about Jamie's request? Does Jamie get to request listeners to do this?
Yeah, Jamie, do you have anything to request to our listeners who may or may not be even listening or will follow through with the action?
Nah,
just be yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like that Audio Slave song, "Be yourself, that's all that you can be." We're not playing that later, actually.
I have a question for your brother.
Oh, yes.
What do you think of hyperspace rhyming? And the introduction of
hyperspace.
And how you can, like,
the hyperspace ramming. You know, spoiler alert, everyone. When the woman rammed her, like, the main rebel ship into the Star Destroyer. And it, like, Do you think a lot of people claim that that breaks canon because if they're able to make such an effective craft that can take down a Star Destroyer and other fleet, why don't they do that more often?
You know, the nice thing is canon doesn't touch on it. It's that it's never been done before doesn't mean that it can't be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems sort of weird.
But do you think
weird and silly?
There's no possibility that someone had done it before successfully, because the rebels could have used that.
I think it's potentially more that it's almost like a war crime kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. You know, just because you can do it and people have done it before doesn't mean that you should do it. It's clearly a thing of last resort.
Mm-hmm.
And it only damages the ship because they just sent a capital ship into light speed against another capital ship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming smaller things would be much, much less effective and just kind of disappear. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you can do it doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And also with limited resources as they do, they just wouldn't be able to extort, like, the energy to just make giant ships and use them as cannon fodder.
It's expensive. Also, yeah, you couldn't like guarantee that your crew would be able to escape every time.
Yeah.
It would be like hundreds of
so
people.
So that's
dying.
In our defense of canon and not a moral avoiding.
it's also kind of, I don't know. It's kind of weird to destroy big ships in the Star Wars universe because, you know, there's millions of people in them, which is kind of weird, but, you know. I guess it's also a war, so, you know, just as many rebels are dying, or whatever they call themselves, you know.
Also, this is a bit more of a political. What do you think of the Yoden attack on the sacred texts?
The Yoden attack on the sacred text.
Mm-hmm.
I really was kind of ambivalent about CGI Yoda imparting wisdom, like, you know, burn the Jedi down. It's interesting to see where that goes, sort of how they take it, especially considering that we didn't get very many answers about that evil hole or pit of darkness in the mirror that Rey touched.
We've talked about this before. I think the duality of the Force was an amazing part of that, and I thought the hole just represented, like, a natural kind of fear everyone has, and then when you delve into that fear, you find Rey's more specific one of her, like, family status, or the fact that her parents were nothing, and then Kylo Ren shirtless. But I thought it was really cool, and I thought it shows how Luke was able to make those mistakes in training Kylo and almost killing him because he hadn't fully understood the Jedi way like Yoda learned, but I thought Luke redeemed himself with the little hologram battle and then fade into nothingness.
Yeah, that was actually a very fun scene in actuality as well as execution. It was like beautifully executed as well as a lot of fun to just see a whole bunch of laser shots and have Luke still stand there.
I was,
you know, have him fight a whole battle by just avoiding. Very Jedi.
Yeah. I thought that showed how he kind of transcended to like lawful good force instead of like chaotic good force.
I think that's a valid argument.
Mm-hmm.
Now speaking of Kylo Ren,
the answer is yes. I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Kylo Ren.
That's all.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's all that needs to be said about Kylo Ren and his bicep.
Massive. They are could feed a village. Just two platters up there. Yeah. That was something. So, would you like to keep going? Do you have any other topics to touch on? I know Jamie's a big Star Wars guy, so I wanted to get on that since we had this talk earlier this year.
So you haven't? I just want to be clear for the listeners. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen Rogue One?
I have not. That's something.
I have.
Jamie, you want to watch it later tonight?
Yeah.
I'm going to see Rogue One. If you're listening in the future, I will have saw Rogue One by the time you're hearing this. So you can't attack me for that. Just know that.
In that case, I will have to call back in just to make sure you've watched Rogue One, because it's a solid film. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it was Jamie. Do you think it was? What is your opinion of Rogue One?
I think it really put the original trilogy in context of like the fact that there was like a wider world outside of Luke, Leia, and Han, and how like vast the rebellion force was. And I think the ending was really good because it was part of the Star Wars trilogy, then it wasn't. It kind of shut itself out very quickly, if you know what I mean.
What?
I think that's a solid description. It gave you sort of context. You saw dirty stormtroopers for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Not the Empire's crack troops, but they're lame guys on a prison planet. And to really get it gives you a scale of the Empire. And then I'm not going to spoil anything here, but when I say you get to see Vader at full prime.
Oh yeah, no, I heard about that little ending shot
fighting.
Yeah,
you know, you get to really put into context
the way it linked to A New Hope. Like it was literally like a 5-minute difference.
Yeah,
from when Rogue One ended to A New Hope. I thought that was so cool.
I
didn't expect that.
I never learned like the full gravity of the name Vader until like you look at Star Wars in the greater context of the little animated series that isn't canon anymore, unfortunately. But Vader was the guy. He was bad hombre number one. Yeah, like political clout and physically, man. Ooh. Monster.
Yeah, and from the original series, you don't get a perfect idea of just how powerful he is, because Jedi fight Jedi most of the time. And in this scene, you just get to see Vader go ham on a bunch of rebels and really see what Jedi unleashed, how much damage, how just powerful this knight is. Mm-hmm. And how scary that is. And I think that's a great scene. I thought it was a little corny that it immediately cut into episode 7. I thought that was a little bit forced because you didn't have an idea of it until the last 5 minutes. But I want you to watch it, make up your mind for yourself. Jamie seems to be a fan, so I can't argue too much.
And on the last topic of Star Wars, if you want to move on to another talking point, or do we want to get back to the music, your request of Yoda? I thought cinematically the most recent Star Wars was really a step above the rest. Like there were some iconic shots. I remember when I saw 7 preview, I think, no, it wasn't with you, but then you went and saw it after me. Like the scene where Rey is leaving the ship or exploring around there, I thought that was great. And then when they go to the green planet, that was solid. But I thought just some of the moments from 8 with the red sand, the white salt, or the slow-mo of hyperspace ramming just really kind of blew me away.
Optically, Rian Johnson made, I think, the pinnacle for Star Wars so far, the pinnacle of Star Wars films.
There were lots
optically,
of moments.
Visually, there were many comments online about how he made a movie feel tactile. Like, you could see the stepping. You could almost reach out and touch it in a way that other films have not achieved. And I think that's very impressive as a technical piece. Even if the movie was a little bit maybe too long and maybe a little unfocused, but that's a Star Wars story for you, so I can't complain. My last question for you two about Star Wars, before I'm ready to move on, is can we just talk about Leia floating in space for a second?
Space Leia. I was high on like all the emotion given from that. She was dead. I was distraught. I was all over the place. Cinematically, it was beautiful, but storyline, it was tragic.
Yeah.
Space Leia Mary Poppins just kind of like slapped me and said, sorry about that. This is a good movie. This scene is not. Sucks to be you.
Yeah. So are you sure you were just high on emotions?
Yeah, I was high on emotions because that was like, what, 30 minutes into the movie? Like maybe an hour longer.
45 minutes, yeah.
But Leia, we grew up knowing Leia as young Carrie Fisher. Then she fought through all of her addiction that she had to roll through and then was able to be in part of 8 and all of 7 to see her then die after knowing she has already passed away earlier. That was terrible, but up until then, I was really feeling all of the emotion of the movie. I kind of forgot where 7 ended, so I didn't know that Flynn was in all of like the tube medical center.
Yeah.
So that just like, I thought like it was great if they just let her die or had maybe Flynn kind of like pull her back in, but then her coming back alive, I just didn't enjoy it.
I enjoyed it at the time because it was just so exciting. But then you look back on it, it just didn't, was stupid.
Yeah.
It's funny because as you pointed out, the actor died. It would have been really natural to have her, like, you know, disappear in this movie.
Yeah.
I really think they're going to struggle with removing her in episode 9.
Yeah, like, it's not The Crow. Like, you don't have to make Brandon Lee alive. Leia wasn't the star. I'm assuming they had enough footage of her. You don't need to Photoshop her in anywhere. But, like, it would have been also, like, a very righteous or, like, given a lot of fight to them.
I thought it was actually nice that they didn't, even though they did it badly, I thought it was nice they didn't actually kill her. Like, you don't just kill her character because her actor dies. The character lived on beyond Carrie Fisher. And I thought that was really good.
I'm willing to accept that. And I think I had to rationalize the scene in my head as, hey, she's Luke's sister. She has force powers, and just because we haven't seen her use them, you know, maybe this moment brought them to the forefront. You know, just because we haven't seen this force power again doesn't really mean it doesn't happen. But yeah, I will totally accept that the character lives on beyond the actor. I think that is kind of a beautiful sentiment. Hopefully that one is continued in 9.
I don't know how they'll do it, but I hope so. Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. And then also get excited for the Han Solo. Anyways, I'm excited to hear some Yoda on the radio. Robert, I'm more than willing to talk with you whenever you want. But thank you very much for having me on your show.
Yep. Who knows? Maybe I'll shout out to my sister, and maybe Ellen is still cranking at this hour. Hopefully not. Yeah. She needs to sleep. But yeah, no, thank you for joining.
Nice to meet you too.
All right, so with that, Will, thank you for coming on the show. Any last shout outs or goodbyes?
Hey, Bree, I know you're listening.
Woo! Yeah, Bree. Thank you, Will. Everyone, say goodbye to Will. Will, bye to everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Up next, we have, as per Will's request, Yoda by Weird Al Yankovic.
I met him in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it babbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A, soda. I saw the little runt sitting there on a log. I asked him his name, and in a raspy voice he said, Yoda. Y-O-D-A, Yoda. Yo, 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 yo.
On the genre of comedy, up next we have Bowie by The Flight of the Conchords.
Bellies and spies, bellies and spies. What you doing all that, mom?
That's pretty freaky, Barry.
Ooh, Bowie.
Is it cold out in space, Barry? You can borrow my jumper if you like, Bowie. Does the cold of deep space make your nipples get pointed, Barry? Do you use your pointy nipples as telescopic antennae to transmit data back to Earth? I bet you do, you freaky old bastard, you. Do you have one really funky sequin spacesuit, Barry? Or do you have several changes? Do they smoke grass out in space, Barry? Or do they smoke astroturf? Ooh! Receiving transmission from David Bowie's nipple antennae. Do you read me, Lieutenant Bowie? I said, do you read me, Lieutenant Bowie? This is Bowie to Bowie. Do you hear me out there, man? Signals we come over the screen. How far out are you, man?
I'm pretty far out.
That's pretty far out, man.
I'm orbiting Pluto. Drawn in by its gravitational pull. I'm jamming out with the McJaggernaut soon. I think
it's up on my LSD screen.
Can you see the stratosphere ringing
to the choir of Afro non-singer? Bowie's in space.
Bowie is in space, and so are we. Up next, it's Space Odyssey by the man himself, the late David Bowie.
This is ground control. clearest view. look to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools as they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those gay men go. It's a freaky show. Take a look at the is their life on Mars. It's on America's tortured brow. Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rule Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clowns. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be written again as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the night that are better not to behold.
darling. You diamond brown head. You a catacomb gangster. John Lennon knows your name.
You just listened to one song by the T-Rex, Ballrooms of Mars, and before that, you had a triple attack of David Bowie, starting with Space Oddity, jumping on over to Moon Age Daydream, and finishing it out with Life on Mars. Up now, I have my faithful co-host Jim Jam 98 here with a PSA.
You can do better.
Yeah, we can do better. One moment. We're going to find a nice PSA for y'all. Right. We're going to kick it with style.
Go green. I'm an eco rep, and I'm telling you, go green with rechargeable batteries. If you want to save yourself money and help the environment at the same time, consider using rechargeable batteries in your frequently used devices that accept them. Today's batteries last about as long as alkaline cells under high use, and they can be recharged hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times.
Needing to be recycled. Packs of rechargeable AA and AAA batteries, plus a charger, don't cost very much to begin with anymore, and isn't more convenient to recharge your batteries than to go to the store and buy new ones anyway?
Mm-hmm. That was a...
a message.
From...
all your green friends.
Mm-hmm. And Jamie.
Here.
At.
WMFO.
Tufts.
In Medford.
Oh, my bad. I missed that one.
In Educational Medford. Radio.
Mm-hmm. Also Freeform Radio. So right now we're just going to kick on some background music by Joe Hisaishi. It is the Howl's Moving Castle theme, Merry-Go-Round of Life. But it's going to be played on loop. And Jamie and I, we're going to talk. So let's get started with the music. So we were already joined today earlier. Hey, you want to stop that?
Yeah.
We were already joined today earlier by my brother. Did you enjoy talking to him?
I love talking to him. I love your brother.
Thanks, man. He's a very
intelligent
nice
man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He likes chemistry, dance.
Wow. What a diverse background.
Yeah. I almost got thrown out of his graduation for trespassing.
What did you trespass?
So they had a football stadium set up, and you know how they have the nosebleeds? The real, like, top bleachers. Those weren't being used because it's not a football game. So I was up there, oddly enough, just kind of chilling. And the way I got up there was I snuck past a security go-round. Security guard. I just said security go around because I'm looking at merry-go-round of life. And I chilled up there for all the graduation. My brother was able to point me out to his friends. And then to get out, I was stuck up there because the security guard was at the door and I didn't want to go past him. So I kind of waited until he left and I snuck out. Yeah, that's an exciting story of me in relativity to my brother. How's your family, Jamie?
How are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. My dog is coming home from a foreign country. We're going to have a dog for a year.
That's fun.
So I'm going to see her when I get back. And they're good. Yeah, solid family.
Yeah, no, that's nice. My sister's doing well. She's studying for some tests.
Who?
Currently, my sister.
Yeah.
She's taking the MCAT soon. Best of luck with that. Currently, she doesn't have power. She would be a caller on this radio, but her phone's acting up. Doesn't have too good a service down there.
What a shame. Can she hear us?
Connecticut. I don't think so, because they don't have internet, and she doesn't want to be streaming it. We're on a limited gig plan here. Oh, we stay humble. But, yeah, I'm assuming she would be. I'll probably have her listen to the stream, hopefully, because they archive all of these, if you ever want to hear that phrase again. Yeah. How was your rainy day?
Very, very, very relaxed.
Very relaxed?
I was like, in the morning it wasn't. I had to get up and like run around in the rain for about 10 minutes.
I mean, yeah, everyone's gotta run around. Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. No one else can let it in. No one else. No one else. The rest is still unwritten. Natasha Bedingfield's at her best. Yeah, no, mine was good. To quote a poet, rain is my lucky number. Don't really know what it means, but he said that about rain. It was nice. I woke up an hour. We're actually going to play that song now that you don't say it's a number. I just need to find it now. Rain.
I never learned that in preschool.
I think it comes after 64? Not entirely sure. Yeah, no, but
I'm willing to change my mind. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, we're actually going to get that up later. But yeah, no, mine was very busy. I woke up an hour earlier, and then because I'm a bit dumb, I actually moved my whole mental schedule earlier. So I wanted to get lunch with some of my friends who don't normally eat at dining halls because they don't have that many dining swipes. I was going to meet up with them. So I thought I was going to have to cancel the meeting because everything seemed like it was running late when I was just really running an hour early. Yeah, that was a big dumb move by me. So I got one of them to drive me to this place, and he was like, wait, Robert, you realize it's 11 right now? And I was like, yeah, I have my class at 12. He's like, no, you have your class at 1. And I was like, I do have my class at 1. It ends at 2, and it's just an hour-long class. So I was running an hour ahead, so he was very polite about it and corrected me. So we went back to the dining hall, and we got lunch, and we met up with another person. We had a great talk about Nerf guns and housing, as many people do. Yeah. But I just got really wet this morning, and I just did not enjoy that. I felt like I was going to fall asleep. I was also running on 3 hours of sleep, so that was a pretty big grind. But I'm actually a huge fan of rainy days. I think they're very aesthetically and mentally pleasing.
I think they're the opposite. I think they're depressing. And
really?
Crazy unaesthetic, yeah. I just kind of stayed in my room the entire day, and it was the most relaxing thing. Like shutting yourself. This is the day when you shut yourself off from the world. Self-care day.
Don't think those two are synonymous.
I think they
but
are.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Anything on your mind?
My mind?
Yeah, anything. Just
put good shit on my mind. I'm having a... Yeah, I'm having a good time talking on radio. So
yeah,
I'm
no.
enjoying this.
Do you like the sound of your own voice? Because a lot of people like the sound of your voice.
It's really weird, my relationship with my voice, because I keep, every time I think I like figured out what it actually sounds like,
yeah, you hear
I get
yourself
again. And yeah, and I don't know if I like it or not. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't.
Yeah, no, I definitely get the merit of my voice, because a lot of people are like, oh, it's deep, that's nice, right? Because you're in your own body, you assume everything you do is like normal. So my voice just kind of sounds normal for me, and everyone usually has like a higher-ish voice. I don't really know my voice in context to other people, so I assume my voice sounds nice. A lot of people told me I have a radio voice, and thus here I am live to your ears. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people like the sound of their own, voice, because it's always weird to hear it, because it's not that, yeah, it's not that known filter for you.
Yeah. Even my accent is different to how I think it is and how I hear it in videos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tea time, of course.
Huh?
Tea time, Bing Bong, all the British stuff.
Well, right? Yeah. Well, the
God save two stuff. Queens, yeah. God save the lobster backs. Yeah. Any personal PSAs?
Personal?
Yeah, personal PSAs. You just want to kind of get out there. I feel like advice to the people.
Be careful.
Be careful with what?
Don't do anything excessively.
Excessively?
Yeah. Everything like, in moderation.
Even moderation?
Everything in moderation.
Even moderation?
Yeah.
Because if you have too much moderation, you're going to end up looking like a blank room. That's no good.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah.
That's why I like everything in moderation, including moderation. I heard that from one of my some of my family that actually lives over in Arlington, Massachusetts. Yeah.
It's very much something I can imagine your mom saying. So.
Yeah, no. What do you think of my mom?
I like your mom.
Thanks. I like my mom too. I think she's really nice.
Aww. He's smiling, would you?
I got my big, dumb, goofy grin on. If you know me, you know this grin. And if you know me and you don't know this grin, you don't really. Yeah. Also, I don't think the listeners can hear it, but can you hear the wind out there? That's going to be not fun to walk out of here from.
Wow, only 10 minutes left.
I know, right? So, we're actually going to turn on the Rain Is My Lucky Number song. It's a poem, because if you know me, I love that poetry. It is called Flock Printer by Buddy Wakefield. So I'm going to get that up for you in a second. Do you have anything poetic to say, Jamie?
Be true.
Be true? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But be true sounds good.
Be true. What about, this is a, you ever seen the movie The Mummy? The original one? Okay. The main actor from that series, don't remember his name. He has a great quote that says, excuse me, I just gotta let some arrows fly, but this was like not in the movie. And when you look at it in the context of his life and his experiences, it means a lot. But to everyone else, it just kind of sounds like mumbo jumbo. Just gotta let some arrows fly. So that's my poetic saying. Brandon Fraser, right? That's him. So here is some spoken word poetry.
Flock printing. It's an aggressive electrostatic action using severe heat to force finely chopped fibers onto patterns of fabric, ultimately resulting in soft touch. When they told you that this was your assignment, you flock printed straight jackets and suits of armor. So I asked if you wanted to trade jobs because damn, baby, that is poetry. And yeah, these arms fell backwards when you did it, chest outstretched open to the way you palms upturned me. I knew you'd be good. I just didn't know how good. Even before we met, when the assignment was to draw words with their own literal meanings, I would write out each letter of the word love using winning halves of wishbones, melted crayons, and the toe tips of the great dancers who've quit dancing because I don't give up on shit like that. I always knew I'd find you even before we met. When the assignment was to partner up in ice water and keep our heads above it, I'd watch boys with girls take the shallow end of the eighth grade like suckerfish, swapping skin-deep aquarium air tubes, trying to make each other's shivers fit. We don't swim that way. Never gonna. Flock printer, you have been a long time coming, and the clouds have rolled you in slowly, but I ain't mad at the upshot sky. Rain, it's my lucky number. It's the author of release. It taught me monsters are easy to come by, so I went out and found the beast before we met. When the assignment was to incomplete myself with sad songs and recycled insults, when I was spun out, eyes bagged, teeth fist first, and luck lost in considering Jesus. You were there. You have been the whole journey. And I ain't got nothing against going home to you, flock printer. You look good in your tidal wave. Toe-to-toe with the mean blue moon. Head raised up like a lighthouse. You are buttercups spraying out the mouths of doves. Fireworks stuck in the air. You're a freestanding landing pad held together by choir claps. You're a god not afraid to walk with the saviors who ride monkeys around on their backs, kicking up mercury, spreading upward openly, carrying breath. Well, you're an 18-string guitar, heart sparking off roots dancing out of the river's edge. You walk like a free country with an affinity for thick skin. You live humming to the tune of Let Loose like a railway banging through the middle of Novocaine, an open-winded underwater fire escape. Flock printer, you have, now are, and always will be my reflection of individuality carried out by the acoustic drift of a snowflake living with a fingerprint. And I am rumble motion jawbone, waterlogged with ink spots, smiling ear to ear, armed with backbone and busted zoo gates, promising you from the bottom of my harmonica pocket, forever, you will never have another lonely holiday. Even now, where the assignment is to live without a destination, I end up with you and the rain, released, both flock printing stars between me and the beast.
door.